Typically, on Sunday evenings, we have had a Bible discussion, and it's been very fruitful for us to be able to share our insights that come from reading the Bible. And tonight, we're going to have to do something a little bit different. My ears are so plugged up that I can't hear anything. And your comments would be unheard by me. Everybody else could hear the comments, but I just can't lead a discussion like that tonight. So what I've decided to do is pick out of the pipeline one of the sermons that I'm working on. I think some of you know that I work on sermons for about 6 months. I get an idea and I start kind of mulling it over and I start developing ideas around that central theme. And so every day I'm putting sermons into a pipe and hopefully one will fall out when it's time for me to preach on Sunday. But tonight we're going to talk about an idea that I have just recently begun thinking about. And I will ask your forbearance. This is not as fully developed as I wish it was. And perhaps one day we'll do this kind of discussion again when the whole thing has been more developed than what it is today. But I want to ask you a question. Who do you expect is going to be saved? That's a pretty simple question, but it's a profound question. Who do you expect is going to be saved? I started thinking about that when I read an article about a survey that was done by, of all people, Newsweek. And they were doing it in collaboration with a religious survey organization called BeliefNet. Well, they asked this question. Can a good person who isn't of your religious faith go to heaven and attain salvation or not? Now, they asked 1,000 Americans that question. They were from all different kinds of walks of life. And the responses that they gave, and again, this isn't very well developed, so you probably can't read that at this point. The responses that they gave are reflected in this table that I have up here. The first column is yes, the second column is no, and the third column is I don't know. So they asked people who characterized themselves as evangelical Protestants, can someone or a good person who isn't of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? Yes, 68%. No, 22%. And I don't know, 10%. They asked non-evangelical Protestants, which is a group of people that I probably would include myself in. 83% of those people responded yes. 10% of those people responded no. And about 7% of those people said, I don't know. So they asked Catholics, which is a fairly well-defined religious group, can a good person who isn't of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? And Catholics, 91% said yes. Among Catholics, 3% said no, and 6% said I don't know. So they asked non-Christians, people that didn't have any kind of established relationship with God, same question, 73% said yes. 3% said no. 24% said, I don't know. So when you kind of distill those numbers and you come up with an overall picture, out of 1,000 Americans, 79% said yes. A good person who isn't of your religious faith will go to heaven. 12% said no. 9% said, I don't know. Now, as I've been looking at those numbers and I try to look at the groups and understand how they would view this, I'm not sure I can come up with, at this point, a satisfactory explanation for the variation in the numbers. But I do know this. That's a question that we have to answer. We have to answer whether or not a good person who isn't of our faith can go to heaven. So I began thinking about people who would not be saved. The devout Jews on the day of Pentecost, who had crucified Jesus, who heard the first gospel sermon from Peter, had they not responded, and many of them did, had they not responded to that first gospel sermon, they wouldn't go to heaven. They were condemned by the fact that they had put to death Jesus. They were devout, no question about it. They were keeping the law. God had said to them that they had to gather in Jerusalem 3 times a year, and many of them made long trips to get there. They were devout, but they weren't going to go to heaven. Then I think about the Ethiopian man who was returning home. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. And it was a long trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, and he made it by chariot. He is a devout man. Philip joined him in the chariot, and they began talking about Jesus and about the sacrifice that he had made. He was reading from Isaiah, and Philip told him about everything that Jesus had done, everything that had been done to Jesus. Had he not responded, he wouldn't be in heaven. He was a devout man, but he wouldn't have been in heaven. Now, he did respond, and that's the glorious thing about it. Because he responded, I know he's going to be in heaven, but had he not responded, saying, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? He wouldn't be there. I think about Lydia, who was a devout woman that the Apostle Paul encountered praying down by a riverside. So I know she was a worshiper. I know that she had deep beliefs that took her to that place. Paul talked to her about Christ and about what he had done. And she wanted to be baptized as well. She wanted to put him on. She wanted him to be her Savior. But had she not responded, she wouldn't find herself acknowledged in the day of judgment. And then I think about a man like Saul. Saul is a devout man. From reading secular history, what we know about him is that he was the youngest member of the Sanhedrin Council, which is the governing body of the Jews. He himself says he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, advanced in his profession beyond his age. He is a devout man, more devout than hardly anybody I can think of. When the Jews stoned Stephen because of what he was preaching about Jehovah, about Jesus, Paul was holding their coats while they stoned him. In fact, when Jesus appeared to Paul on that road to Saul on that road to Damascus, Saul was going to Damascus to find Christians, bind them, and bring them back to Jerusalem so that they could be put into prison. He is a devout man. And later, as he defends himself and his teaching, he said, I have served God with a clear conscience unto this very day. But when Ananias told him, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, if he hadn't responded, if he had chosen to ignore what Ananias told him, he wouldn't be in heaven. So I know that those things are true. That's depressing in a way, isn't it? To think that there are a lot of people who are just going to miss out on the benefits of being a Christian. But the encouraging thing is that that's not what God wants. I know that it's true, but I also know that God doesn't want that. I read a meme while we were on vacation that said, you know, some people look at God as sending people to hell, and that's not really true. What God does is he saves people who are running pell-mell down the road to hell so that they can go to heaven. When you look at 1 Timothy, the second chapter, beginning at verse 3, the apostle says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who wants all to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. We're going to have to come to him. Jesus said himself, those people who want to come to God will have to come through me. That's undeniable. 2 Peter, the third chapter, at verse 9, Peter talks about how important this understanding is, that God wants people to be saved. Peter says what he does is he delays the day of judgment. And some people look at the delay as if it was somehow an indication that maybe God is not going to judge us after all, or maybe God can't really do what he says, or maybe he's just made some frivolous promise and he's not going to keep it. But Peter explains it this way, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God does not want us to be lost. He doesn't want us to ruin our lives practicing the kinds of things that the Apostle Paul described in the first chapter of the book of Romans. God wants us to be saved, and he wants it so desperately for us that he delays the day of judgment to give us an opportunity to repent. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that he delayed my day of judgment because I really needed it. And I'm sure everybody here who has a relationship with God would say exactly the same thing. I am so glad that God delayed the day of judgment, of my judgment, so that I could repent, so that I could establish my relationship with Jesus, so that I could find myself enjoying all of the benefits of heaven after my judgment. Well, that's all I have to share with you at this point. But I want you to think about it. If you have not built a relationship with God, you will not be saved. That's what it amounts to. You can be a good person. And there are countless good people that I'd like to have for a next door neighbor, but they don't have a relationship with God. And it's sad. So I do everything I can to tell people about God and to help them to establish that relationship. If you want to have that relationship, put Jesus on in baptism. Turn away from the way that you were living that's not getting you anywhere. Turn to God. Be willing to stand up and say, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for me. Then we'll baptize you. We'll put the old man to death. God will raise you a new creature. And if you got started down that road and you got diverted, you need to return to it. God's giving you an opportunity, and it's a glorious opportunity to take advantage of his grace.